His story began as a typical Hollywood tale. With little more than $40 and a dream, Walt Disney's future awaited.
The time is now, on an evening very much like the one we have just witnessed.
Relax. Close your eyes and come with me on an adventure in three-dimensional sound.
WDW Radio, your information station.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your Walt Disney World information station. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 592. I'm here once again, not only to help you have the best possible Disney vacation experience when you get back to the parks, but I also want to bring you some of that Disney magic wherever you are with the podcast. My live video broadcasts every Wednesday night on Facebook, blog, videos, special events, books, audio tours, and more. Whether it's your first time visiting the parks or you've been hundreds of times, if you're planning your next return trip to Walt Disney World or just love the history, details, secrets, and stories, there's something in the show for you because each week I'm going to take you from the parks to the screens and everything in between. If you're a new listener, thank you. Welcome. Please go back and check out some or all the past episodes for interviews, top tens, reviews, and more. You can subscribe to the podcast in Apple Podcasts and find everything else at www.radio.com. I'd like to invite you to please join me at the table this week in Chef Art Smith's Homecoming Kitchen in Disney Springs and Walt Disney World as I sit down with Chef for a one-on-one interview and lunch. We discuss his background, working for Walt Disney World as part of the very first Disney College program, as well as his very personal inspiration for Homecoming. Chef shares stories, including some he's never told before, about working for Oprah, his conversation with and recommendations for Disney CEO Bob Iger, lessons he learned from Disney, entrepreneurial inspiration, and more. And as we share a number of items from the Homecoming menu for a mini live dining review, which I think is the first time I've ever done a dining review with the chef and restaurant founder, I'll be honest, we just started talking and I just let the microphone keep on going. But we also talk about the opportunities the recent shutdown afforded him personally and professionally, his charitable work, and much more. I'll then have the answer to our last Walt Disney World trivia question of the week, and I'll pose a new challenge for your chance to win a Disney prize package. Then stay tuned to the end of the show. I'll have more information, updates, your voicemails, and more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. As Walt Disney World begins to open again after an unprecedented and certainly very unique time of closure, we're starting to feel like things are normal again with the opening of Disney Springs and the coming opening of the Disney parks. But I have to tell you, as somebody who is local, who came back to Disney Springs on day one, I got this wonderful, warm feeling that nothing had really changed in terms of service, attention, and cast members. But when Art Smith's Homecoming opened recently and I walked in, there really was this sense that I felt, as the name says, that I was home once again. And today I am incredibly excited, dare I say thrilled, to be joined by and sitting down for lunch with the chef Art Smith himself. Chef, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you so very much. It's great to be here and great to have you. Great to be back to work. I think that Advent Health has done an amazing job with screening. I want people to know it's effortless, and everyone is adhering to social distancing, and everything's great. And it's so wonderful, you know, to be here and welcome back our guests. They've missed us. They've missed fried chicken. And so it's been really nice. We had a line out the door, and which is great to know that people are enjoying seeing us, and It's just, you know, I never take for granted, particularly after all that we went through, I never take for granted that, you know, coming from a background of show business where one can be forgotten. I know this is Walt Disney World, this is Disney Springs, but, you know, when you've been gone, we've been gone for over 3 months, this is when you know that we have done a great job and people are missing us. You know, when they miss you, you know that you're doing something right.
Well, you know, you never forget family, right? As far and as distant as you might be, and sometimes you lose touch with them, when you see family, it feels like home again. And I'm not sort of, you know, being overly dramatic, but that's how I felt. Look, I was here, I saw you on day one, and there was a lot of things that I noticed. One, putting the food aside, the level of service and the attention and the way that cast members made us feel when we walked in the door was remarkable. And I watched you talk to your staff ahead of time, and then as guests were lining up, as you are wont to do, right, you went out, you welcomed them, you greeted them. There was something, there's a certain way that it makes you feel.
Well, I was very emotional.
I saw that.
I was emotional with our cast. I was very emotional with the guests. And I said, you know, the greatest compliment is that you are missed. And they, you know, they were very, the people have been extremely sweet with my own transformation, with my weight loss and them seeing me. While this has all been going on, I've been doing my Instagram Live show, and quite honest with you, I never thought even anybody would watch it, and Lucas convinced me to do it. Lucas Consolier, my coach, health coach, who helped me, who coached me, you know, 70 pounds plus off, and what's nice when I go to the table, and the whole reason for doing it is I'm like, okay, I'm here. I know I'm not in the restaurant, and the restaurant's not open, but I'm here, and all is well, and I hope you're well too. And, you know, people go to our table, and when I go to our tables, people say to me, like, thank you. Thank you for letting us know everything was okay. Thank you for your programming, whatever.
You know, I talk all the time about, and I've said this even not in front of you, one of the things I love about you in this restaurant is you're not just a name on the marquee. You're here all the time, unannounced, no bravado, no special events. And I watch you go to every table, virtually, you know, distantly shake everybody's hand. And I think that during the COVID pandemic, things were very difficult. They were very scary, but I also felt it was a time of great opportunity.
Right.
And there's two parts of that that you took advantage of. One, when I saw you the other day and saw that you lost 70 pounds, I want to go on the Art Smith fried chicken diet because I think I gained the 70 that you lost.
Well, I have to tell you, if you want fried chicken, then just do exercise a little more and you'll be fine. I mean, I think that it's important to understand if you want to eat, you got to exercise. And all you got to do is do, you know, I do jog 3 miles a day in the morning. Seems like a lot, but it isn't. And if you don't want to jog outside in this Florida heat, find yourself a treadmill and walk it off, but get yourself moving. And it's just, but I still eat everything.
Yeah. And, you know, in moderation. And look, again, time of opportunity, the way it happened for you in terms of having somebody literally sort of fall into your lap to help train you,
right,
was very much, you know, this strange happenstance because of COVID.
It was. It's very strange. But I'm a big believer that when it rains, find an umbrella, you know, and you should always have a parachute. And I have worked really hard, and I always believe in parachutes, and I've done stuff, and I also am a person who is pretty predictably positive, and I always, and you know, and I have a lot of faith too, and I believe there's powers greater than we are, and I knew and I felt good that we would be back.
And you mentioned your Instagram Lives again, taking advantage of the opportunity. You know, you did that, I think, for yourself as well as for us, the guests. And it did. It kept that connection that we had with you. And I think it made us learn to know more about you and like you even more. Because like this restaurant, we sort of felt like we were invited into your home and your kitchen.
Right. Well, I think it's the restaurant has always been, even from the day one since we opened, it's always been its motto, welcome home. Homecoming. was created in to really represent my return to Disney and my return to Florida. The restaurant, when I told, I don't know if I told you the story, but it was an email to Bob Iger saying, we need a taste of Florida, because behind the Magical Gates is a Florida that is beautiful and delicious. And that's how Homecoming came to be.
So you can't just sort of gloss over the, I sent an email to Bob Iger story, because there is, you know, maybe we'll sort of work back a little bit, and then we'll touch on when and how you became a cast member at Disney. But working back from the story, a lot of people know you as, you know, very much a quote-unquote celebrity chef, having worked for governors and certainly Oprah Winfrey. Tell us the story about how you come to start emailing back and forth with the CEO of the Walt Disney Company.
Well, I had the opportunity to be introduced to Mr. Iger through Oprah Winfrey. And we first came to know each other over the phone when he would call, and I would answer the phone. And then what happened was, I was in California, and Oprah asked me to make lunch. And I was making lunch, and she walks in the kitchen with him. And we chatted. I said, nice to meet you, Mr. Iger, blah, blah, blah. And then I had written a book that at the time did not know that a publisher named Hyperion ABC was actually Disney, bought it. And I wrote a book. It became a New York Times bestseller, won the James Beard Award. And that took me to Epcot Food and Wine Festival. And started doing Epcot, and being at Epcot, I ate at every restaurant there, and I felt there was truly a need for a more local Florida restaurant at Walt Disney World. And Oprah's chief of staff gave me his email, and there you have it. And I wrote him an email, and just told him, I said, there's a need. And I said, I'm not sure you remember me, but I thank you so much that I said there's a need. I said, you know, there needs to be a Florida-inspired restaurant. And we started chatting. And I told him my ideas. And a lot of times these types of connections, hookups, whatever you want to call them, don't work. But it's nice to know that that the idea was good enough for the man that's over this amazing company. I love Disney. You know, I worked here in 1981 in the Magic Kingdom College program, and all I wanted to do is bake cake. I didn't want to work in Magic Kingdom. I love Magic Kingdom, but I want to bake cake. And I saw myself as having a career in baking. I love pastry. I thought, well, I'd be a pastry chef. And anyway, I really loved it. And then that was early. At that time, I was 21. And then I was reacquainted with Disney when I was 30. I guess when I wrote the book, I was 38, 39. And then all through my 40s, I did Epcot Food and Wine, and into my 50s. And this restaurant came to be when I was, let's see here, I'm assuming 60, 59, 58, 57. I think I was 56. Or 55, 56, because it took 4 years from that email for the restaurant to happen. It's a lot of planning, a lot of work among Imagineers, a lot of work with Millennium. Millennium, you know, is the one that financed it. I came into this project without any money. I just had an idea, and hopefully the idea would all work. And so with my partners, we created Homecoming.
And so what was the vision for you? Because I know it's one that's very much rooted in your own personal history, growing up in, you know, a very small town in North Florida, which is very different than Central Florida. But what was the vision that you had in your mind's eye?
To give them a taste of Florida. That people come here, they get off, they fly in, they come directly here, and let them know what Florida tastes like. This is my Florida.
So how is that? So how does this sort of connect to your childhood? You know, did you grow up around people who were cooking a lot? And what were some of those meals?
I'm a sixth or seventh generation Floridian, and we also we're farmers. And I grew up with lots of farm from Angus cattle. We grew tobacco, and I also had all kinds of I grew up with lots of fresh vegetables. We'd eat fried chicken every day, but I had it once a week. You know, big dinners and church are real big on Sundays in my part. My South is different than this South. Original Pioneer Florida is much more Southern than you can imagine. And it's how it all came to be. And I think I've told people, we didn't have restaurants, we had fish camps. In fact, this was supposed to be a fish camp, but it was still a bit too fishy around here, so we went to homecoming. Thanks to Theron from Imagineers and Mary Beth and all the great people. And it was truly the central idea of a Florida restaurant was my idea, and the feel and the look and the food. But where homecoming gained its strength was it had a dynamic team of people behind it who came in and saw the vision, and together we created it.
And it's very much in alignment with sort of the story of Disney Springs and sort of having the spring running right outside, obviously the beautiful porch outside, and now you have the extended outdoor dining area. Again, it does feel like you're walking into this old Florida. You know, I traveled a lot as a kid. We always drove from New Jersey to Florida because my mom didn't fly. So we saw a lot of this in a lot of those small towns we visited. Right. So there's a level of authenticity and story that just feels right here.
Exactly. I mean, it's actually a steel structure clad in cypress. And as a kid, I grew up in my grandmother's house in Opa-locka, Florida. It's a northern part of Miami. And I grew up with murals, and all the murals, these beautiful murals, were created by a wonderful artist. And I love that feeling of old Florida. But then it has the feeling of Pioneer Florida, the moonshine bottles. My great-grandfather was a moonshiner, and he's the inspiration behind the moonshine bar. There are other elements on the menu that are also memories of my childhood. But together, you know, we've worked really hard to really bring homecoming. It's our interpretation of Florida.
And I love the fact that so much of it is so very personal to you, from the items on the menu. You know, there's items on the menu that reference people in your family. There's photos on the wall of you in the college program and with your family. And I think I remember reading a story about, you know, you coming here, you have always having ties to Disney, not even before you were a college program cast member, coming down like with your mom and baking her a cake and staying at the treehouse. So a lot of this is very personal. And you also like to source, you know, local Florida as well.
Most definitely. Florida is the fruit and vegetable basket of America in the wintertime. We grow a lot of amazing food. We grow a lot more things than strawberries and sweet corn. We grow a lot of really delicious produce that's really fantastic. And and I think it was important to show people that. You know, one of our most favorite, when we have it season, we do grouper sandwiches. Grilled grouper sandwiches are probably the epitome of Florida, you know. And I would love to have an oyster bar, but that's a little, you know, maybe that's the next one. And then Boathouse has a very wonderful one. Boathouse does a great job. I mean, I love my neighbors. And one thing you have to learn, and I was telling the head of Disney Springs yesterday, Disney Springs has become a destination for dining. You know, Disney didn't always have that reputation for dining. And Disney is taking great strides to bring what they feel is some of America's greatest talent to come in here and open restaurants.
And I know that you have, you know, you're not just a good neighbor, but you are a good friend to, you know, Masaharu Morimoto as well, too.
Yeah, him and I worked together for many years on Iron Chef America. I was the nice judge. And he was the only Iron Chef, thank you very much. And then my friend Jose Andreas is right down the road, and he's a dear friend of mine. I love what he does. Give him that Nobel Peace Prize. There's not a chef that's fed more of the world or in all these incredible situations. Lovely, lovely, lovely man. And my friend Rick Bayless across the springs here, he's one of the first advocates on farms and preserving of farms. Him and I did a wonderful conversation about something called Victory Cheese. The dairy industry has had a tremendous, really had a hard time with the COVID. And so people, and so things that we love about dairy, cheese, milk, butter, have been, there's a problem. And basically, if we want to continue to have American cheese, we've got to support it. I told them my way of supporting it is I must serve mac and cheese until the cows come home.
Judging by my physique, I'm doing my part to help, well, you know, support the cheese industry,
that's
too.
A good thing.
But let's sort of talk about your Disney connection again. Again, we'll sort of work backwards. You were in the very first college program, and you said you knew you wanted to come in and bake cakes, but you didn't go to school specifically for culinary.
No, I went to Florida State University, and what happened was I wanted to be a chef. Well, you don't go to Florida State to be a chef. 1981 salad. Something finally older than me, okay? And you know, one of the things, Lou, it's really important to me is I want people to understand that they can have their comfort, but they also can be conscious of their health. And so I love this salad. This is a salad that is really delicious. It has elements of the famous Columbia salad in the oldest restaurant in Florida. But it's a wonderful salad. And the other thing I wanted people to understand, too, is that when you think of homecoming, you think, of course, fried chicken. But we do wonderful things like our delicious barbecue sandwich with a fried egg on top. I have to tell you, our Cuban sandwich is probably one of the best Cuban sandwiches outside of Little Havana and also the Castro. Really wonderful. And our burger is really delicious. We left the chips off, but I wanted you to kind of taste something. Because when you come here, I want people to realize that there are other things. And getting back to healthy, we're going to offer more healthy items because I know people like our food, but I think people really love the atmosphere and this wonderful big barn-like structure. And I just want people to be able to come and kind of give them, you can't be to everyone. But I think that that's an area that we need to focus on.
Well, and I love the fact that it's not, let me go to this restaurant and see if I can find something right. Or modify something. You'll have offerings specifically, and I love the sort of marriage of healthy and comfort, which seems so that, you know, that they're diametrically opposed. They can actually work in concert and taste great together too.
Right. And but you know, Florida's known for Cuban sandwiches. Florida's known for we do have a little bit of barbecue here. I love burgers, salad. I mean, you know, I didn't go to Florida State to be a chef. And I went there because it was on my own, the closest alternative to going to culinary. And but it was management. And the reason I came to Disney, I wanted to come to Disney, I loved how Disney produces. I loved how they're the greatest performers in the world. They know how to take something and perform and everything. And so I came here, but I wanted to bake cake. And they said, why does a college student want to bake cake? And I said, because I want to bake cake. And so I did, and I worked at Central Foods, which was back behind Magic Kingdom, where we baked all the cookies and pastries and everything. I remember I'd be there late at night and hear the fireworks and kind of be like, I'd love to see I love fireworks. But anyway, I did that, and the most interesting, funniest time was the chef of the Empress Lily, now just known as Paddlefish, was a fantastic chef that they brought in from the White House. In fact, his restaurant had won the Florida Golden Spoon or one of those, whatever, Florida Trend, whatever, a lot, and it did really well. And if I don't know if you ever had the opportunity to see the old Empress Lily.
Yeah.
You know, Walt loved Victorian America. He loved velvet plush and all the gaslight lamps and all that steamboat kind of stuff. And anyway, it had all that. And it was the only restaurant that Lily Disney herself christened. There would not be a Walt Disney World or Disneyland if it wasn't for Lily Disney and his daughters. Disney was a devoted, doubting father and husband, and he loved his family. And much of what we are enjoying today is because of those beautiful girls, those women. And so I think that's really important. I still think there needs to be something here in the parks that really showcases that. Behind some of the greatest people in the world, there's a man or a woman that's there holding that person up, advising that person. And so anyway, they had a contest, and I baked my dessert. I know we were living in like these trailers at Snow White Village, Seven Dwarf Lane. Nothing wrong with that. But and I was living with these hellaciously partying Epcot landscapers who were crazy. And they were fun, but they were crazy, and they never slept. And, you know, working in a bakery, all those kind of hours, you know what I mean? And so, anyway, I entered the contest. And I had met all these other apprentices from all the different culinary schools. Well, they had a little like Brian over here. They had the contest, and I beat them. There you have it.
All right. So, we're getting something. Yeah, let's dig into our lunch. And Chef, I'll admit to you, I have literally never seen, and I've been here 25, 30 times easily, I've never seen any of these because I have my personal favorites, and I have a tough time going off my own mental menu. Like, I could walk in and order without seeing it because I'm going to get deviled eggs, I'm going to get hush puppies, I'm going to get the fried chicken sandwich, I'm probably also going to get the fried okra and deviled eggs. I'm going to order pretty much everything on the appetizer menu, but you were raving about the Cuban tip. You know what? I'm just going to keep it going. Oh, I love the nice crispy
really
bread. Oh, yeah.
Bread. It's pressed. It's absolutely delicious.
I need extra hands. There's that.
Hello.
Oh, wow.
You've got that wonderful roasted pork, the ham, the Swiss cheese, the mustard, the pickle, and that wonderful authentic Cuban bread, which you can only get in Miami or Tampa.
And it's hard to get good bread sometimes in Florida because it's the water. This is so good. Different layers, different textures. Wow, and those pickles. The bite of those pickles is just perfect.
It's all about the pickles. We make our pickles.
We really. Now I see why you were raving about the Cuban sandwich. And I would tell you, normally I would never even think to order a salad, but I'm looking forward to digging in because it looks like there's ham and cheese, olives, and a huge bed of mixed greens.
It's kind of our version of a chef salad, a bit better.
I need more hams.
Well, you got the barbecue that we do in-house. You've got an egg, you've got coleslaw, and you put it in your mouth on this brioche bun. And said, Lord have mercy, Jesus Joseph.
So I love me a good barbecue pulled pork sandwich, although I've never had it with the fried egg on top. Oh, that's nice, because the egg breaks.
Yeah.
You get the yolk running over.
Okay, wow. I know we like fried chicken, but we can make a sandwich too.
That's spectacular. The crunch and the bite from the vinegary coleslaw, I love the idea of putting the fried egg on top.
I gave you this salad to make you pretend that you're eating healthy.
Mm-hmm. The salad was more like a palate cleanser.
My mother, I don't care what you had, it was always a salad. The mango sauce.
So you make your own barbecue sauce in-house?
Yes, and everything. Everything's homemade.
You can tell when it comes from a scratch kitchen as opposed to coming from a bottle. And I know different parts of the country, barbecue means a different thing. Some are mustard-based, some are vinegar-based. What's the secret to your barbecue? Because I like how it sits on the back of the palate with that little bit of like a twang to it.
Mustard, vinegar, brown sugar, ketchup. And then it's, but it's what makes barbecue sauce great is you have to be able to balance the acid and the sweet. It's not good.
Yeah, I don't like it too sweet. I like having a little bit, like you said, a little bit of that acidity.
But, you know, and you've got the sweetness of the coleslaw. You think, okay, the egg's too much, but it works.
It's not a first date food because I love the fact that the egg is running down your hand. But that's just showing that you really enjoy it. Wow, now I don't know if I like the barbecue more or the pulled pork more. I'm sorry, the Cuban sandwich or the pulled pork.
You know, we've got this explosion of flavors around here and all these sandwiches. My whole idea was Come see us at Homecoming and understand we are more than fried chicken. Okay, we have established the fact that we're famous for fried chicken and people love it. But come on and try some other items because I think you'll love it too.
I think it's interesting that you told the story about what you wanted the name to originally be and sort of being more fish-based because I think, right, people hear Homecoming, they think fried chicken because I'm going to tell you, Chef, not just because you're sitting here, I think it's the best fried chicken I've ever had. I don't know what you do to the coating to make it be so tasty but not overly heavy. Sometimes you get chicken that's just overly breaded.
Well, first we brine it, and we have a dredge, and we only use southern flour. If you go online, you can see the recipe. You know, we use white lily flour.
And, I mean, recipes are great for some people. I would rather just come here, but it's also nice to know that you can come in five times and have five different menu items without, I mean, again, I keep going back to the fried chicken sandwich, but I think next time I come in, I'm going to have a little bit of a difficult time. I'm really, really impressed with that Cuban sandwich. I keep sort of going back and looking to it. And you've got this ginormous burger sitting here as well. What sets what difference your burger?
Two all beef patties, onion jam, cheese. It's pretty good. It's really delicious. If you can't eat it now, you can take it home. It travels well. You can separate the tomato and lettuce from it, but it's really, really good. And good burgers come from the juicy burger, the onion jam. I like the sweetness, and cheese, and good American cheese, and then the brioche bun.
You had me at onion jam. I mean, I think as long as we're sitting here, I think we got to just cut it up and taste it.
Of course we do.
We'd be remiss if we didn't eat it right now.
You said it. There you have it. There, look, there we have it. So, okay. Holy moly. My problem is I can't just taste it. I eat the whole thing.
So, and I like it too because it's not one... I'm not a big fan of one giant beef patty. I like the fact that you have two smaller patties and then layers of lettuce, tomato, and I'm...
And I like a burger. It tastes like a burger, not a taco. Good, huh?
Wow. Mmm.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Wow, you just get that hit of that, the sweetness of the jam, which is so unique.
I'm gonna like burst out of these clothes. I'm gonna run 3 miles.
I'm gonna single-handedly undo everything that you lost.
Oh my God! I remember when I first lost all the weight the first time. They were trying to put me in this show called A Healthy Comfort, Finding Comfort. And one of the first places they took me to was a donut plant in New York City. Oh my God! And I had to sit and taste about 12 donuts. All I could think of: Holy moly! Jesus, Joseph, donuts. I cannot eat all these. And on camera, you have to be like, oh, this is delicious. And I'm thinking like, oh, my God, if I eat any more donuts, I'm going to lose it. But they were delicious, but I've been cured of it.
Well, you look great, so I need to follow whatever it is that you're doing. But I want to go back to talking about Disney because your experiences with Disney, one, I think probably taught you a lot not just about baking cakes, but about customer service, exceeding expectations. What were sort of some of your takeaways from your time on the college program?
Well, it's all about front stage, backstage. We're all part of a cast, as Mr. Disney said, and really creating that ultimate experience. There's no better teachers in the world on hospitality than the Walt Disney Company, and they do it better than anybody. What was really tough through this whole COVID situation was it had a profound effect on all of us and also a profound effect on corporate America. I think the closing of the parks was so unprecedented, and I think also scared the world. The world probably could not even fathom the idea a day without Disney. And I think that, you know, Disney's become such a part of the social fabric of America as well as other countries in our world. When you think of Disney, you think of this wonderful company that's entertained us for all these years. And So it's been truly, it's truly wonderful. And this is what I, how I feel, to see, to reopen. I mean, yes, we're all still concerned and everything, but I also believe, too, that with all the things that they're doing, like I said, you know, the way they're handling the screening and all this stuff, all the systems they're putting in place will be replicated across the world. There's no other place in the world where they handle crowds that they do than these parks.
And while you were there, I know that you were very aware and of the lessons that you were being taught and the experiences that you got in terms of customer service, working together as a team. Right, I see the way your team works together.
It's all about team spirit. Yeah, but between learning about customer service and the Seven Dwarfs name, don't ask me. I'll have to think on that one. But it truly is like it's the importance of putting on the show, and the show always goes on.
Well, and I think, too, as a leader, there's a difference between having the title of a leader and then demonstratively leading your team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, just the way Disney teaches you to address each other by your first name. And they're not one to use titles as a way to show separation, segregation, you know. Personally, what means to me the Walt Disney Company is that Walt Disney Company has always been in the forefront of equality. Even when it wasn't popular, they're there. And in these times, I'm very proud to be a part of a company. And as a gay American, even more prouder. And so I'm really happy that I had this opportunity. And, you know, it's because it truly is amazing. And I hope, you know, I'd like to do maybe another concept with the Walt Disney Company, whether it's, you know, I still think that there's a need for really, I'd like to see something done with food from the Keys and that part. You know, Latin Florida, Hispanic Florida is just as much a Florida history than all the other different cultures and stuff. So I think there needs to be something that focuses on that. I mean, you know, the Spanish were the first, you know, here, and so there's all that great food. And I think I would love to see, I know we have Jose Andreas, but I would love to see a restaurant that's very reflective of you know, Spanish American Florida, and also to the Caribbean. I think there's a lot of great food from the Caribbean that has it's very much influenced Miami and other parts of South Florida, and also into Central and North Florida, where you find, you know, you find tremendous Caribbean food. I want people to look at Florida and being a Floridian as a great dining destination. You know, Florida has not always had a reputation for great food, so I think it's time that we do that.
Yeah.
And we can. And we've got some amazing chefs now. There are a lot of great, wonderful local restaurants that are not, that are part of the whole restaurant community here in Orlando. You know, the Ravenous Pig and all the different great people, and you know, they're doing tremendous and they're doing a tremendous jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember again driving from New Jersey to Florida. My parents always liked stopping, not at Bob's Big Boy, but we like to stop at some just a local roadside, right, and really get a flavor of Florida. Right. And just sort of quickly going back to Disney, you know, you're starting here in the very first Disney College program was not necessarily by accident. You've always been a Disney fan since a kid, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up with the Wonderful World of Disney, watching that and, you know, kind of trying really hard to get it through Davy Crockett or Daniel Boone. It did. Excuse me. But anyway, and also going with eating pizza. We had pizza and Coca-Cola the only night, only Sunday night. It was wonderful.
I'm happy Chef just stepped away for a couple minutes because I'm inhaling the rest of my burger. I can't believe how good this Cuban sandwich is. I might have a new favorite at homecoming, and it might be the Cuban sandwich. I gotta go. I mean, if Chef asked me if I want dessert, I think it would be almost rude if I said no.
Well, we have time on dessert. What dessert have you not had? You probably only had hummingbird cake.
I've also had the pecan pie. Which...
Have you had the moonshine cake?
I don't think so.
You should try it. Yes, it's very good. It's based on a wonderful... I love a bun cake. And it's based on my grandmother's pound cake. And then it's... But it's soaked with moonshine. And it has a glaze. It's really good. We'll get one.
I mean, if you insist, far be it for me to say that.
We'll do that, and that'll be a nice little sweet finish to our little lovely interview. But anyway, I mean, I do think that, you know, it's dessert is another big thing for me. And it goes right back to my history here at Disney and baking cakes. I love to bake. I still love to bake. And I think it's important. I said, and to be honest with you, if it's not homemade, it's not worth eating.
And you can taste the difference. And I know this sounds ridiculous, but you can taste the love and the care
right.
in food. I think that gathering around the table is the most wonderful, intimate, best way to get to know and spend time with people.
Well, that was the whole theme of Back to the Table, is like the idea that we come around the table and we share. You know, we may not always agree with everything we talk about at the table, but at least we come together and talk. Particularly now where so many families are kind of dysfunctional due to social media, where the kids are always on the phone, they're talking, or they're on our pads and everything. So it's really important that we need to try to spend as much time as possible at the table. You know, food is in good times, food is in sad times. Food is it makes everything feel better and taste better. No angry people, just hungry people.
Listen, Chef, I love your philosophy about so many things, from family to service to, you know, gathering around the table. And you, like Disney, you know, you are the recipient. You've earned so many incredible awards. You've worked for Oprah, cooked for dignitaries, but you also are so concerned about helping other people as well. I don't just mean us as guests and your amazing staff and cast, but the charitable work that you do, too, is remarkable.
Well, I love mentoring. I do a lot of that. I have kids in my life I mentor. About 15 years ago, Jesus and I, he wanted to buy an old historic building. It was an old church. And, married to Jesus and buy a church, right? And he paints angels, too. And so we bought this old church. And I told him, I said, what are we going to do with it? He said, we're going to teach children about each other and about culture and everything through food. I said, oh, yeah, okay. And then he said, I'm a teacher art. And I'm saying, I am not Emeril Lagasse. How are we going to afford this? So I got a call from a banker. I'm like, thank you, God. You have answered my prayers. We can figure it out. It was a huge space, 30,000 square feet. So anyway, we met, and her name's Linda Novick-Keith. And Linda and I started talking, and I loved her interaction with me. And I said, hey, if you like it that much, why don't you run it? And so her other half was a lawyer, and he made it legal as a not-for-profit because we didn't want to charge. And we started teaching in a basement of another church, but the church we bought we couldn't use because of asbestos. And then it started the first class. We did 15 kids. Very successful. I remember we did it. We cried. It was working. And then Maggie Daly, the late Maggie Daly, Mayor Daly's wife, said, why don't you bring it downtown? Well, once we brought it downtown, it just blew up and expanded all over Chicago. And then when my neighbor became president, Barack Obama, Michelle were introduced to me by Oprah. We took Common Threads to Washington, D.C., as well as Open Art and Soul. And it blew up there. And then and now have since opened in Brooklyn and New Orleans and Miami and all over different places. We're in 9 states now. And teach, I think, around 250 million kids. Free cooking lesson.
And so, you know, what's the why? What is it for you that's so important about having these, you know, oftentimes underprivileged kids get those type of experiences?
I think when it comes to food, we all deserve good food. One of the greatest lessons that you can teach a child, which sometimes I'm thinking, boy, I'm failing, the greatest lesson is teaching them how to cook. And cooking teaches many lessons. It teaches math skills and just other skills and just the act of sharing and it's the act of working together and cooking. I think it's really a very important thing.
It's got to be feel so good. You know, it's one thing to craft a meal that looks and tastes beautiful and have somebody tell how much they enjoy it, but to see the impact that you have, not just short-term but long-term, on some of these kids, and probably for some, you know, changing their pathways has got to be incredibly rewarding.
I would like to think that the work that we've done in Chicago and other cities that were challenged, I'd like to feel that somehow or another, or through our work, we somehow or another save lives. Kids that probably, if they hadn't had the training, could have, you know, been victims. But I do believe a little food goes a long ways. And so I'm very pleased that Common Threads, you can go to www.commonthreads.org and learn a lot about us. And it's done really well. Lena Novick is still with us. She's the CEO and been running it for 15 years. We're celebrating 15 years.
And what I love, too, is you've worked so hard for and you've earned. You weren't given anything. You know, you worked for it and you earned it. And when you were talking about, you know, baking cakes and as we're getting ready for our cake for dessert, when you were shopping around your first book, a little bit of cake goes a long way.
We sold it with a cake. Yep. We sold it with a cake. We really did. Yep.
Tell the story about how, when you were going out to meet publishers, what you did that made your pitch a little bit special.
Well, I used some of what I was taught, and that was, you need a great story. So I wrote a great story. I was told when I was a kid I couldn't write, but I can write. I just need a good editor to clean it up so I look intelligent. But as a creative writer, I do pretty well. And then I wrote a story. I worked with a photographer to create a storyboard, just like Disney does with all their projects, Imagineers. And with the storyboard and a story and a big hummingbird cake, I sold it. I went to 9 publishers and baked 9 cakes.
I love it, and I love the passion and the drive and the hustle.
Do a moonshine cake or do the chocolate con. That's really good.
And again, Chef, you know, homecoming, I'm happy that the story of the naming convention worked differently, because when you do come here, you feel like you're home. When you walk in, you're not just greeted by a friendly face, but you're greeted by pictures of you and your family, both in Magic Kingdom and growing up in Florida. And it brings your story and the story of this restaurant full circle.
It's very important. I mean, what's great about homecoming and the whole metamorphosis of all of this is that there wouldn't have been a homecoming if Disney hadn't hired me.
Listen, everything happens for a reason.
Long time ago. I think it's 40-something years now. Lord Jesus. It's okay. We're going to do the chocolate pecan tart. Delicious. And don't forget the vanilla ice cream. That makes it. Thank you.
If you didn't love Chef Art Smith before, there's no way you can't love him now. Even 70 pounds skinnier, he's just such a wonderful, loving, caring, incredibly passionate person. Chef, I can't thank you enough, not just for this place, but today and our conversation. This is something that has been a remarkable experience. My family's going to be very, very jealous, I can assure you. But again, as a flag-waving homecoming fan, on behalf of everybody listening, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, very much.
Time for our Walt Disney World Trivia Question of the Week, where I invite you to test your knowledge of Walt Disney World's history or see how well you pay attention to the details, sometimes what you see, hear, remember, maybe taste. If you think you know the answer, you can enter via our online form for a chance to win a Disney prize package. Of course, before we get to this week's question, we're going to go back, review last week's, and select our winner. So last week, I brought you back to Epcot Center and the opening of the Morocco Pavilion, and when it first opened, where the Tangerine Cafe, which is one of my favorite counter service locations anywhere in the park, where the location where Tangerine Cafe currently sits was not occupied by the restaurant. Instead, I asked you to tell me what originally was found in that location when the Morocco Pavilion opened. First things first, thank you so very much for entering, playing. Congratulations to all of you who got this one correct. And you knew, surprisingly, that it wasn't a gift shop, It was actually a tourism bureau. Remember, Morocco, unlike most of the other pavilions in World Showcase, was not sponsored by a corporation or a group of corporations. It was instead completely funded by the Kingdom of Morocco. So it made sense that they would have a center of tourism where guests could come in and get literature about planning a vacation. And in this national tourist office, they also had a multi-screen slideshow of the landscape and lifestyles and people and culture of Morocco. And you could even book flights on the official airline of Morocco, which was Royal Air Maroc. And if it makes you think back to the old If You Had Wings, sponsored by Eastern Airlines in Tomorrowland and Magic Kingdom, they too used to be able to allow you to book vacations to some of those exotic destinations that you might have seen on the attraction. However, I digress. Back to Morocco. Anyway, I took all the correct entries, randomly selected one. And last week, you were playing for all of my digital products, which is my 102 ways to save money for an at Walt Disney World book, and my 7 virtual audio walking tours of Magic Kingdom. So imagine you and I walking through Magic Kingdom, land by land, for about an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, close to 2 hours for some, and I take you through the history, details, secret stories, some of those overlooked hidden treasures, all with the three-dimensional binaural sounds of the park behind us. I'm also going to send you a WW Radio vinyl sticker, a Magic Band cover, and a mystery prize from my collection. As I've mentioned, over the past few weeks, I've been taking a lot of my collection both off my shelves, out of my closet, and out of my garage, listing 10 new items each week on eBay at www.radio.com/eBay. Again, they all start at $1, no reserve. It's items from the Disney parks and collectibles from the 70s, as well as some Disney, some Star Wars, maybe a little Star Trek in there as well. Again, www.radio.com. Auctions begin and end every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to pull one of those items out, add it to the mystery prize package. And last week's winner, randomly selected, is Jacqueline Bernal. So Jacqueline, you use the online form. I have your shipping address. I will get your prize packet out to you right away. If you played last week and didn't win, that's okay, because here's your next chance to enter in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. So this week, instead of giving you an obscure piece of Disney history or trivia, I'm instead going to give you an obscure line from a Walt Disney World attraction. It may be current, it may be extinct, and all you need to do is tell me, where in the world have you heard this phrase? You can't fly. If you had wings, I'd let you go. Sweetheart, sit down, will you? Don't make me come over there. I'll turn this helicopter right around right now. One more time. Quote, you can't fly. If you had wings, I'd let you go. Sweetheart, sit down, will you? Don't make me come over there. I'll turn this helicopter right around right now. That's it. All I need to do is tell me where in Walt Disney World you can or could hear that line. You have until Sunday, June 28th at 11:59 p.m. to go to www.radio.com, click on this week's podcast. There you'll find the online form. Again, you're going to play for the books, the audio tours, the vinyl sticker, the Magic Band cover, and a mystery prize from my collection. And don't forget that if you enjoy playing trivia, please go over to my Instagram, because every day I share daily Disney trivia on my Instagram stories. It's a multiple choice, so it's easier way to play, test your knowledge, and maybe learn something fun along the way. Again, it's Instagram.com/Lou Mangiello. So good luck and have fun. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in this and every week. I sincerely appreciate you listening, sharing, being part of the community. Again, if you want to be part of the conversation as well, please go to www.radio.com/community. That will take you to our group over on Facebook. You can also connect with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And please make sure you like the WW Radio page at facebook.com/WW Radio. I also want to give my sincere, huge gratitude to everybody who is part of our WW Radio Nation family. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate your love, support, friendship, and help that you give to the show. I also love being able to give back to you each and every month. I want to thank some new and longtime members who have joined the Nation family, including Melissa Titoff, Jennifer Bryant, Cody Havard, Jim Hart, and Suzanne Marchetti. If you would like to find out how you can help the show, and it really does go a long way, but also get exclusive rewards every month, including scavenger hunts, trivia quests, we have a private Facebook group, custom Magic Band covers, logo gear, t-shirts, backpacks, care packages from Walt Disney World, and our exclusive live video group calls, early access and discounts to special events, and much more, you can visit www.radio.com/support. Don't forget that it is obviously completely optional, very much appreciated, but it's not only a great way to help show your support for WW Radio, but don't forget that a portion of the proceeds of your contributions do go to our Dream Team project to benefit the Make-A-Wish Foundation of America. Again, to find out more, to join for as little as $1 a month, you can visit www.radio.com/support. Of course, don't forget that this show is by, for, with, and really about you. So I'd love to hear from you. Again, not just by commenting and talking about this week's show or anything you'd like to discuss in our community at www.radio.com/community on Facebook. But if you have a question you'd like me to answer on the show, you can email me, lou@wwradio.com, or call the voicemail. Be heard on the air at 407-900-9391. It's 407-900-WW1 with a question, a comment, or just a hello when we finally can start getting back to the parks. Obviously, our meets of the month in Walt Disney World have been put on hold until we can start getting back to some semblance of normalcy, although stay tuned for our next virtual meet of the month coming soon. But always stay tuned to our events page at www.radio.com/events for upcoming events in Walt Disney World, on the road, and don't forget about our Marvel Day at Sea cruise, which I think we're going to need more than ever, coming up this January out of Miami, 5 nights on the Disney Magic. If you go to www.radio.com/Marvel Cruise, you can find out more and get a free no obligation quote from our friends over at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, because they are, of course, my official, my recommended travel provider for not just this cruise, but any of your vacation planning needs. It's who I've used. It's who I trust. It's why I recommend them to you. And as we start getting back to Walt Disney World and Disneyland, other Disney destinations, and anywhere that you're looking to start traveling, I think now it's really important to have not just the help and guidance, because there's a lot of things that are still confusing about how and when exactly to get back into the parks and resorts. For free, no obligation quote and help, you can visit them over at mousefantravel.com. Speaking of help, I would love to help you. Look, you give me, by virtue of you listening, you give me the gift of being able to share something that I love and I'm passionate about with you each and every week for so many years. I'd love to try and help you do the same thing, whether it's helping you turn what you love into what you do, or speaking to your event virtually or in person. If you visit loumangiello.com, you can find a lot of the different ways we can work together. Whether it is a one-on-one coaching call, I still have one spot left for my weekly 6-person mastermind group. And stay tuned for more information about my Momentum Weekend Workshop coming up this October in Walt Disney World. Again, to find out more, visit loumangiello.com. You can always reach out to me via email or direct message if you have any questions. And as always, my friend, and you are my friend, whether we have met yet or not, and if you like the show, and I hope that you do, all I ask is that you please help spread the word. Let others know about it. How do you do that? Tweet out a link and that you're listening to this week or your favorite show. Share it on Facebook. And if you can, take just a couple of seconds to rate and review the show over on Apple Podcasts. It is so incredibly helpful and important. I want to thank a few recent reviewers, including Ben Barlow, who says, "It's way more than it seems. I've been an avid listener to the podcast since I got my very first iPod over 10 years ago. That's awesome. The discovery has paid off in spades, especially now during the national and international quarantine when the world can be a little gray and depressing. Very much a light in the dark, Lou Mangiello has a gift for being both truly entertaining and deeply informative, but behind that, he has a determination to share Disney magic in his own heart to make the world a more positive and joyful place with each and every episode. On top of this, it bears mentioning that the true friendship requires real effort and energy, and Lou is a true friend to so many people. It's nothing short of heroic." Man, you're going to make me cry. I don't read these in advance, so this is the first time I'm seeing this. "I highly recommend this podcast for its lighthearted entertainment, for its informative intelligence, and for simple but noble mission, and for its enthusiastic and inspiring host. Special love to awesome rotating co-hosts and guests, especially Becky Mankin, Tim Foster, Jim Corcus, and a less frequent but personal favorite, Big Fat Panda." Ben, thank you so much, brother. Lively K says, "It's a happy place. The positivity and love that shoots out of each episode is a weekly dose of sunshine for any Disney fan. The content, reviews, top tens, interviews is just icing on the cake. Chuck Oak says, it's so much fun. Guys, stop what you're doing and listen to this podcast. Lou brings a fun and informative show every single week. If you love Disney, then look no further. He talks about food, park history, current and fast attractions, food, resorts, food, movies, and of course, food. I love the food too, Chuck says. Lou, if you read this, I read everything. Thank you for making such a fun show each week. I love all the little details you give. It makes it so much easier to get through the workdays. I listen to your audio guides of the Magic Kingdom, too. I've probably listened to them all about 100 times each. Wow, that's a lot of Lou. I enjoy hearing all the actual park sounds in the background as you describe every land. And these podcasts are so creative. Start listening, folks. You won't regret it. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this podcast called the WDW Radio Show. Chuck, Lively K, and Ben Barlow, thank you. Thank everybody else so very much. Again, just search for WDW Radio in Apple Podcasts, or if you go to wdwradio.com/iTunes, we'll give you a link and show you exactly how to do it. Finally, most importantly, thank you, thank you, thank you. I cannot tell you how much you mean to me. The fact that you're listening, the fact you're listening to the very end means more than you know. Again, we've talked about how this world, you know, we're more physically distant, but I think in many ways it's helped bring us together. And I hope that that's what this show does, is it brings us together. It makes your day happier and better, and maybe inspires you to even be a little better in your personal and professional life as well. And I think, you know, we long for, we look for good news and bright light. And I hope that that is what this show is a positive impact on you each and every day. Look, I say it all the time that I will always choose the good. I will look for and find the good in everything that I do. And I hope that this show, this community that you have built, is an easy way for you to find the good each and every day. I am here to help you in any way that I can, whether it's with the show, whether it's professionally, or just being a place that you know is safe and comfortable and friendly and happy in our community over on Facebook. So with that, I love you. I appreciate you. I can't wait to see you again in the parks soon. And if there's some way that I could help you, please just let me know. I hope this truly is your best week ever. So until next time, see ya.
Hey, Lou, it's Jen from Milwaukee. And I wanted to tell you, the other day I was casually talking about your podcast in front of my six-year-old, and I said, yeah, so Lou Mangiello. And he said, Lou Mangiello? He sounds delicious. So you probably heard it a bunch, but we love you. Thanks for all the fun, and can't wait to keep listening. Have a magical day. Oh, boy.
Hey, Lou. It's Christine Martin from Flowertown, Pennsylvania. I'm walking one of my doggies, and she's going to start barking, so I'll make this quick. Anyway, I just wanted to say hi to everybody. I hope we're all starting to get back to a little bit of normal. We're doing good up here in Pennsylvania, and I'm keeping track of all the exciting Disney news and all the scheduled openings, and I'm really excited for all that to get back to normal. I saw there's a new episode, so I'm going to try and listen to that on my walk. And also, the live show starts in 10 minutes, so I'm going to check that out, too. See what your top five live is tonight. Anyway, I'm really excited for my cruise. We have our countdown calendar. We're almost at 200 days. I'm hoping it all still happens. And, of course, our cruise is like 14 days before your Marvel Day at Sea. And, unfortunately, I would have booked that with all of you guys, but I had already booked the trip when you announced the cruise. So we will all hook up at some point on one of those cruises. Marvel Day at Sea would have been awesome since my son is a Marvel freak. He would have loved it. Anyway, everyone, have a wonderful day. It's hump day here in Pennsylvania. It's been 70s and sunny. We are so spoiled. Take care. Make somebody smile. Bye.
Good morning, Lou Mangiello. It's Darlene Nagy, formerly of West Seneca, New York, and I'm calling in with the countdown for Marvel is 216 days away, and the countdown for now Italy is 264 days away. so exciting for both of these events. I wish I could go on the Marvel cruise, but at this time I just cannot do it. And maybe next one might be in my, you know, realms of taking a little cruise. And I want to wish all the fathers out there for taking care of all the families and everybody, if they're doctors, first responders, and just dads in general, happy Father's Day, and thank you for being there for all of your family and friends. Even if they're not your own blood, it does make a very big difference. And it's amazing how Lou has kept us all together and to stay positive during this time. And thank you so much. Love you, brother. Have a great, magical day.